You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome in to this Thursday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we talk about the Indiana Pacers 5 days a week. As always, I'm one of the hosts of the show, Tony East with the West Indianapolis Community News and over at 8.9 Seconds. Today, I'm going to do something you've all been begging me to do, which is not true, actually. It's what everybody wants from content at this point in time, considering the team is out of the playoffs and it's offseason time. People want me to talk about free agents, but I don't want to spill all my candy in the lobby before the movie and give away too much of what I prefer to do this offseason. But I do want to talk about guys that I think they could go after that are not necessarily as grandiose in terms of impact of the move. They're like a little smaller, fringy moves that they could pursue if, you know, things don't necessarily go their way. Or in one of these guys' cases, he could actually be quite the upgrade at starting point guard. So I'm going to go with the middle guy first and the best guy last to keep you listening. But really, they're all three pretty interesting to me, and they all fit the team well. So let's get to it, because I know everybody loves free agency talk. So the first one is a wing, and I'm going to do reasoning before I give names because it's fun, and I think that makes the most sense. The reason I researched wings, basically every position but center has some merit to it for this Pacers team, because with Turner and Sabonis, they have no reason to bring on another center outside of someone in the Jefferson role. On the wing, they played Bojan and McDermott this year, and McDermott was okay in the regular season. I touted his value all season, and why he helped that second unit offense, but in the playoffs he was not playable. He was not useful enough. He got benched in game four for a reason. The Pacers need another scoring punch on the wing, or at least someone who can come in and play capable minutes on one end of the floor and be a net neutral. So my first look for free agency here is Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay, currently San Antonio Spurs. He had a bit of a renaissance after a brutal injury with the Kings in 2016-17. He was averaging 19 points a game that year before heading off to San Antonio. Now he's down to 13.7 points per game. However, if you go to his per 36 minute production, his scoring is just barely down, which he's actually weathered the storm of if his injury pretty well. And his scoring is down 1.5 points on a whole shot less than it was with the Kings. So really, he's just seen his role reduced a bit as he's been crippled from actually multiple injuries in his career. But he's been healthy-ish the last 2 years, and I think he can actually help the Pacers, both in a role where he could play some two, some small ball four, some three off the bench. But the thing that appeals to me most about him is he has a skill that the Pacers need, which is he can score off the dribble. Rudy Gay, there's a great video of him when he was playing for the Raptors. He hits a game winner against the Grizzlies, and some fan screams at him and says, "Not this guy!" And then he hits the buzzer beater. It's hysterical. That's one of Gay's best skills, is he can ISO a guy, which the Pacers needed in the playoffs. He can, you know, create his own shot off the dribble, which in turn sets up plays for his teammates. And I like that about him, and I like that he can bring that to the Pacers. So here are the things I like about him. He's a pretty low turnover rate, about 12.3%. His three-point attempt rate has gone up recently. It's about a quarter of a shots now, which earlier in his career was laughable. It was much lower than that. And he's also having currently his most efficient season ever, with a 58.3 true shooting percentage, which comes from a career-high 40% three-point percentage. His last five seasons have seen his three-point percentage fluctuate quite a bit. However, two of the five seasons he's been above league average, two of them he's been right about it, and one he's been under. So I think you can expect him to hit the floor of about a league average three-point shooter, and someone who can do that off the bounce is still an effective player. And then another thing I like about Rudy Gay is he can finish well at the rim. He's been over 60% for, I think, nine straight seasons now, which is great. I think there's a lot of scoring he brings to the table, and being in the Spurs system a little more rigid seems to have clicked with him. And I think he had something absurd like 9 or 10 head coaches in his first 11 years in the league. So the rigidity and stableness of the Spurs really helped him, and I think the Pacers can offer that to him as well, which could be attractive to him as he looks to continue to grow his value. The trouble with Gay, to me, for me, to me, whatever, is gauging his value. He just opted into about an $8.5 million high single digits player option with the Spurs for this year, meaning that the research said he would not get that much money in free agency last year. He is 32 going on 33. So I'd imagine Rudy Gay wants a long-term deal with the most total value he can get, even if it's not the best per year or first year value he can get. I'm not sure that the Pacers would be willing to offer him a long-term deal, but I think with Gay, it'd be more of a late free agency move, like July 5th, and they haven't gotten the guys they wanted or anything like that, or you know, maybe Bojan walks or something. And in that way, I think they could offer Gay a big one-year deal. Not big, but like 1 year 10 to 1 year $12 million deal, or even like 2 for $20 million. At worst, you can reduce him to a spot-up shooter because he can now hit that shot. And I just like that he can add offense to a team that needs microwave offense. I think the problem with Evans is he is too much off Tyreek Evans. He was supposed to be that guy. He was too much off the dribble. You know, he couldn't really do anything as an effective off-ball guy, where Gay totally can. The Spurs are showing that, or at least more so than he ever has, showing that this year in San Antonio. So I'm all about it if it comes to that. I don't know necessarily that it's the perfect move for the team, nor do I think it's one they'll pursue unless something else happens that makes them want to pursue a wing. But I like Rudy Gay in that spot. He also is averaging 7 rebounds a game this year, which the team could also use. He's a pretty good rebounder for both a wing and a guy his size. He is 6'8", but he's more of a perimeter-minded guy, so averaging 7 rebounds a game is pretty crazy, which isn't neat. I don't think it's his career high, but he's had a bunch of seasons in the sixes. So, yeah, there's one. Rudy Gay, mail it in, call it in. I don't know what you want to call it. My official prediction, if they were to sign him, would be a 2-year, $20 million deal. Maybe the second season has some kind of partial guarantee, so it's effectively a giant 1-year deal. I think that could be good for both parties here. Player number two will come up after the break, so stick around. Player number two is the least sexy of the bunch that I'm about to name to you by a mile. I mean a country mile here. Some of you might not even know who this guy is, but it's totally me to have guys I just latch onto that I think could help, despite like being really good role players. This guy is having a great series right now for the Blazers, and that is Al-Farouq Aminu. Al-Farouq Aminu is basically Thad Young, but like a year younger. Al-Farouq Aminu is a 28-year-old power forward who is completely defensive specialist and a pretty much average three-point shooter. He spent his last 4 seasons in the league at 35% from three since he joined Portland, that is. So basically a league average three-point shooter who is just a complete monster on defense and is pretty much an Iron Man. He plays a ton of games every season. I think he averages something like a little over 70 games a year, which the Pacers could use in forward depth. He has 670 games in 9 seasons. You do the math there. Pitchers could use that at forward depth. They could use a role-playing guy who can really play D and shoot well enough if left wide open. And he's just a smart player. He's really good. He's been really big for Portland in the playoffs. But the reason you sign Al-Farouq Aminu is the reason that you have Thad Young now, and that is because he's a defensive-minded dude. He can guard guys in the post. He can guard bigger wings. He doesn't have as quick a foot speed as Thad, but he's a little bit stronger, so guys can't drive by him as easily if they play through contact, which allows him to do well enough on guards. And I think it speaks to a lot of his skills that if you look at his on-court and off-court splits, this season, with him on the court, the Blazers had a net rating of 7.7. 7.7 points per 100 possessions is a very good amount to outscore your opponents by. On the other hand, when he was off the court, the Blazers were outscored by 1.4 points per 100 possessions. Their offense and defense got worse without Aminu, which I think speaks, well, some of that speaks to he fits in well with the starting five in Portland, but some of that also speaks to, you know, he can do a lot of good stuff on both ends of the floor in the same way Thad Young kind of does, while being a year younger. So if Thad bolts and or they want to add depth of a guy who's similar to Thad and improve the backup four spot, instead of TJ Leaf, I think Aminu is a good guy they can pursue. Defense isn't the only thing that he is great at. This season right now, he has currently set his personal best for effective field goal percentage. A lot of that based on his two-point percentage, actually sky high, 51.4%, which is right around Thad's number, over 50%. And a lot of that coming from he him also like Gay doing well shooting at the rim, but mainly shooting well in the paint in the restricted area, 42% from 3 to 10 feet, which is the second best of his career since, ironically, his rookie year. And the three's falling just well enough for him. So he can be that shifty guy on offense. Meanwhile, his defense, as I've stated, is very good. And another thing that keeps him being very impactful, very low turnovers, under 10% of possessions he finishes end in a turnover, which is exactly what you want from guys who don't have the ball very often. High turnover guys with low usage rates are disastrous role players. Low turnover guys in any role are just better in that way. So I'm a big Aminu guy. If you watch the Blazers this series, you can see him popping up all over the place, making subtly good plays for them. And with Nurkic out, he's needed to have a little bit more of a presence as a post defender for that team, and he's stepped up no problem doing that. So I don't know what the deal is going to be with Portland. They're pretty tax-strapped, but there's a chance that he's kind of available. And at 29 years old, he could be in the same camp as Gay, where he does chase after perhaps one more big deal in his career. However, he is young enough that he could go shorter term. Because of the Portland East stuff, I think there is a tie that I don't think anyone on the Pacers overlapped with him in Portland, although there are so many ties that I don't even know. But I think there is enough that there could be draw for him to come here too, just because the play style fits are there. So Aminu, I think, 2 for 15 or 2 for 20 as well would be something that he could chase. Maybe even 3 years for him, since he's only 29, although then you have to go down in the average annual value because it has to be worth it for the Pacers as well. But he's probably a fallback option too, if Thad leaves. I think he can fill that role pretty well. Ideally, I think he's probably like your backup forward who can play both 3 and 4. But who knows if he's willing to accept that role, what kind of money that looks like for him. So there's two, both forward so far. Rudy Gay and Aminu, and they're both, I said backup plans, maybe that's the wrong word. They're both guys who can fit as an extra if they came into the roster the Pacers currently have, but would also be good as fillers if someone like Thad or Bojan or McDermott or whoever left the team. The next guy is a guy who can just hop right in and replace Pacers and maybe a backup plan. I did air quotes, quote unquote. Maybe a backup plan in that there are possibly better options to pursue, but they're pretty unrealistic. So let's move on to the best player of this group, the sexiest option, after the break. All right, so this next guy, actually, there's a big hurdle. Right now, he is in the second to last year of his contract, and he has a player option this summer. And he could opt into that and not be a free agent, and then this entire section you're about to listen to is crap. But let's talk about Goran Dragic. I like Goran Dragic quite a bit ever since his most improved year in Phoenix. I think he's been a pretty good player. He can do some stuff off the ball. He can kind of shoot. He can get to the rim. He's long and defensive. He is a pretty big engine for that Heat team, I think. I want to make sure I have this right. But I think in games he played, they had a winning record despite being under 500 overall in the year. Man, I forget how to look at this. Dragic clearly had a down year. I will not deny that. And that could entice him to opt in because $19 million is a lot for the way he played this year. However, at 32, heading into 33, I believe. Yeah, his 33rd birthday is early May, so 11 days from now, May 6th. 33 is old, and that drives down his value a lot, and I think there's about a 50-50 shot he opts in, and the other 50% is he opts out and chases a 2 or 3 year deal to help a team like Indiana, who could use him as an upgraded point guard. I understand if you're trepid that he's an upgrade. I, however, think he is. First of all, he came into the league at 22. He's only been around for 10 years, which is a lot, but it's not like so much mileage that you freak out, especially because in his early years, he was playing under 20 minutes a game. He did get injured this past season. He only played 36 minutes, and I think that is what some of why his stats were down. And a down year stats, Goran Dragic averaged 13.7 points per game to go with 5 assists. He's still pretty good, and that's along with even when he was playing, sharing the court with Justice Winslow, who he'd also kind of use as a point guard. So if you check out his per 36 numbers, his scoring was better than his first year in Miami, and was only about 1.5 behind his all-star year last year. His assists were actually up from last year, So the only thing that he saw happen differently was a substantial drop in efficiency, which, I mean, if he's older or injured and lacks burst, yeah, his shots are going to be harder to get up and his efficiency is going to go down. So that's where it's a gamble. If you get Dragic, you're hoping that he is closer to the guy he was as an all-star than he was this past year, because this past year guy was probably better, was definitely better than Collison or Corey Joseph, in my opinion, mostly because he's a bit bigger and just a smarter guy or smarter player, and adds more to the table than just outside shots in the case of Collison. I mean, vaguely, obviously, they do more than just his stuff, but like, DC was a really good outside shooter, Kojo is a really good defender, Dragic can do a bit of everything, and I think that would make him a good fit with this team. I think he could fit well next to Oladipo, mostly because he can defer. You know, he doesn't require the ball in his hands all the time. His usage rate's never been really superstar-y. It's been more in line with a second guy. And even this year at 23.7, that's more in line with like a third guy, despite being a very good passer and a moderately low turnover guy. So I think in that way he would fit well next to Vic or whoever if he became the starting point guard on this team. I like the way that he passes. In particular, he passes guys open. And I like that he can kind of shoot. This year was not his best year, but the 2 years before that, both above league average. He's had 2 or 3 years over 39%, 2 years over 40%. That's pretty good. He can finish well at the rim because he's 6'3". He almost shot 70% from the rim in his most improved season and the following year. And he did shoot over 70% at the rim 1 year in Houston. So a little worse these last couple years in Miami with Hassan Whiteside clogging up the paint and making it impossible to finish the rim. But with Miles Turner, I think that would be a much, much easier proposition for him. So overall, I think that this is actually a pretty good fit, mostly because I just like Dragic and think he's a good player and think he can be good even as he, you know, recovers from injury. But also because it could make a lot of sense financially, because he could be squeezed due to his injury. You know, I think there are a lot of teams that I think he might get outbid in a weird point guard market this year. He might end up getting overpriced. But if you can snag Dragic at like two for 35 or 2 for 40, I think that would be fine. It's a gamble for sure. But it's like if Kemba ends up picking the Mavs, which seems like a reasonable fit for him, or he goes back, and then Conley gets traded to the Jazz, and then, you know, Drew's not getting traded. Like, Dragic might be the best guy available for the Pacers after those three. And that could cause them to, you know, be willing to give him close to what he opted out of, plus an extra season, which could be enticing to him. And I think he could help the Pacers. That is my third guy, the sexy guy, the best player of this group. And there's a chance they could get all three if free agency goes terrible for them. But I like all three as fringe guys, or in Dragic's case, adding a starting level guy. I think Dragic is good. I really do. I understand that people don't. I understand that the injuries make him a scarier gamble, but I'm all about it. So, yeah, key in on those three guys. Research them up if you feel like it. Thank you guys for listening. Please, we're doing a mailbag, like, literally all next week. We're going to do, like, a four-part mailbag. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be all about free agency and the Pacers. But we can't do it without you. So, please, get on Twitter and tweet at TEastNBA or at FreedomAdam5 or at LockedOnPacers. Tweet at us questions about free agency, about the team, about decisions, and we'll answer all of them. It's going to be awesome. That'll be all next week. Thank you guys so much for listening today. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Sorry for the late burp. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you tomorrow.